Podium Sessions. Vier Werke, vier Geschichten. Die 12. Serie bei Henry, dem Podcast für zeitgenössische Kunstmusik.
Most of my friends were into 90s music and stuff, and I was a bit pretentious. I liked being different, and I liked kind of showing off my weird 60s prog rock music. I was probably a bit annoying, but yeah, so I really embraced it, and so I grew up with it. My name is Ian Anderson, and I arranged King Crimson's song 21st Century Schizoid Man from their album In the Court of the Crimson King for string quartet. When I was a teenager, I got a lot of my musical tastes from my older brother. He would give me loads of albums to listen to, and they were predominantly actually 60s and 70s rock. And there was a lot of stuff like King Crimson, which is progressive rock from the 60s and 70s. 21st Century Schizoid Man is from 1969, from the album In the Court of the Crimson King. And that whole album is amazing and has so many influences from, jazz and, they just really try to be as unusual and as crazy as possible. So that's where I first heard the song. At my school, most of my friends were into 90s music and stuff. I was a bit pretentious. I liked being different, and I liked kind of showing off my weird 60s prog rock music. I was probably a bit annoying, but so I really embraced it, and so I grew up with it. The hard thing to do with arranging is to make it so there's a reason to do the arrangement. If you're just transposing like the exact notes onto totally different instruments, then there's no real point to do that, because otherwise you're much better off just listening to the original, because it was written for drums, guitars and everything. It wasn't written for string instruments. So if you want to make it sound as good and as convincing as possible, then you have to kind of rearrange it, because otherwise it doesn't play to the instrument's strengths. What I find, the strength of a string quartet is made up of four very similar instruments, and it's different from a rock band, because in a rock band you have the drums and the guitars, and they are totally different instruments. They have a very distinct role to play. You can't play a melody with the drum, for example, so they're in very distinct boxes. But in a string quartet, it's like a big block. All the instruments are equal, and they can swap around, and they can sound identical. Sometimes you don't know what instrument's playing, and I find it very fun to mess around with that. So it's really fun playing with people's expectations. Thank you. It starts off like a normal song. The first couple of minutes are, I mean, it's great, but it's nothing too unexpected. And then it just suddenly goes off on this crazy 6-minute experimental improvisation cacophony, and it never goes where you expect it to go. And just when you think it can't get any crazier, then there's another mental sax solo which just ends up screeching away in the most amazing way, and it's just so compelling. Classical musicians are notoriously bad at improvising. Well, it's just something we never get taught, and it's such a hard skill to master. So I ended up just notating all of the improvised solos on one of the recordings. It was quite weird because I grew up with one version of it, and I notated all of that, and then I lost that album, and then I couldn't find that version of the recording again. And I still can't find it, actually. And the one that I always come across now is totally different, with totally different structure and totally different improvised solos. So it's really weird, actually. But also it's quite cool, because every time they played it, it was different. The one that we play is only one of the versions. And, so I just sat down and transcribed all the improvised solos, which took quite a long time. I just had to sit with my headphones in and listen to a couple of notes at a time on repeat. And because also it's all improvised and it's all about feeling, so they feel the beat and they have points where they meet again. But within that, they're not thinking about the actual rhythm in the same way that classical musicians do. It's all about feeling. So they are playing all these complex rhythms and everything, but it's not necessarily thought out. It's more just the play gestures, and then they meet at the next point. So that was very, very difficult to notate. And just to try and get that feeling, and which was a lot of fun, but it just took ages. And the hard thing when we're playing is to capture that feeling of that we're not just trying to play all these complex rhythms in an accurate way, but it flows, but it also sounds like in the recording. It's very complex rhythms, but it never sounds hard. It always sounds like it's flowing. So that took a while for us as classical musicians to get used to, but it was so much fun. I think we got there at the end. And also Aoife, the first violinist, she comes from traditional Irish music background. She grew up improvising. She ended up actually improvising, even though I'd transcribed all the stuff from the recording. She did her own improvisation, and she used some of the material, and she's fantastic at it. I play viola. Also, in the arrangement, the viola part is, even although all the instruments change roles, the viola does a lot of the rhythmic stuff the drummer does. I even have a short drum solo in the arrangement. And I use a lot of guitar plectrums in my arrangements. I also play guitar, and so I feel very at ease using the plectrum. And that can create a really percussive sound that's perfect for imitating drums or taking the drive that drums give and transposing it onto strings. But it's not just limited to that, because then you can combine that percussive element and then combine that with pitch, and so it's really, really flexible. A big starting point for this arrangement was the Aben Quartet version of Come Together by the Beatles. I'd seen that a couple of years before and I thought it was amazing. And what they do amazingly well is they create their own version of Come Together, which is totally captures what the song is about, but is different enough to legitimise creating a string version. Otherwise, what's the point? Just go and listen to the original. But what they do, it's really compelling. So yeah, it was a combination of the Aben Quartet, and then also I play a lot with the London Contemporary Orchestra, and they do projects with loads of different artists, and I was involved with Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead. He did a lot of contemporary string music with the LCO, and he uses plectrums a lot because he is a guitarist. So when he started writing for strings, he naturally brought in the plectrum. And he really explores different ways of creating sounds in ways that you wouldn't associate with classical string players. That was my starting point. And then I just tried to bring in my own ideas. And yeah, because as soon as you start experimenting, then there's really nowhere that you would stop. Yeah, if you go down one path, then it's more interesting the further down you go. I've always wanted to write music, and I got composition lessons since I was about 14, I think, and I'd been writing for years before that as well. I've got really into arranging recently, which I didn't expect to, but I just really enjoy it. And it's also, I wouldn't say it was only arranging, I do recompose it almost. I feel that I have a lot of input.
Wenn euch unser Podcast gefällt, würden wir uns freuen, wenn ihr ihn weiterempfehlt oder uns eine Bewertung dalasst. Mehr Infos findet ihr auch auf henry.podium-essling.de. Henry ist Teil der Digitalsparte von Podium Essling und wird gefördert von der Karl-Schlecht-Stiftung und der Kunst- und Kulturstiftung der Sparda-Bank Baden-Württemberg. Diese Serie ist eine Produktion von Ricarda Baldauf. Vielen Dank an Ian Anderson für das Gespräch. Er war auch in der Bratsche zu hören. Außerdem gespielt haben Ivan Nivrin, erste Geige, Moritz Ternedden, zweite Geige und Stefan Hadjew am Cello. Danke fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.